The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hi there, this is Janice Peary from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. Today, our first book is The Donkey Egg by Janet Stevens and her sister, Susan Stevens Crummell. Up on the hill lived a grumpy old bear. His farm was a wreck and it needed repair. But Bear didn't care. He just slept in his chair and growled at his neighbors, Fox and Hare. There's the bear sound asleep on his messy front porch. "Wake up, Bear," cried Fox. "I know you want to turn this place back into a mighty fine farm, grow some mighty fine crops, and have a mighty fine life. But you need help, and I have just the thing." "Grrr," growled the bear. He wasn't happy to be waked up. "What thing?" "Ta-da," said Fox. "A donkey." "That's not a donkey," cried Bear. "Not yet, but it will be," said Fox. "It's a genuine donkey egg, a genuine certified donkey egg, still green, has to ripen and hatch. That's where you come in. Keep it warm, safe, and happy, like a little mama bird on her nest. It will take time, minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, so be careful. Then voila! A donkey." As you know, Bear, lots of animals come from eggs. Chickens, dinosaurs, platypuses, alligators, and donkeys. It's the truth. I can see it now. Your fields are plowed. Your house is painted. You and your donkey sitting on the porch, watching the sunset. What a deal! And it's a steal. Today only, 1995. "No way," said Bear. So Fox sighed. "Okay, I'll settle for that $20 bill. Sold. It's a done deal." Fox scooped up the cash, disappeared in a flash, and all that was left was Bear in his chair and a gigantic green donkey egg. "That fast-talking fox," muttered Bear. "Now what am I supposed to do?" And then he remembered. "Keep it warm." So, like a big mama bird, Bear carefully sat this way and that. He sat and he sat. Tickety-tock, clickety-clock. Minutes passed by. No donkey. Neighbor Hare had just begun his daily run when he screeched to a halt. "Bear, you're out of your chair." "Well, I'm sitting on my donkey egg," growled Bear. "What? Donkeys don't come from eggs." "Yes, they do," cried Bear, "like dinosaurs, chickens, alligators, platypuses, even tortoises. I'm keeping it warm so it will hatch. I've been sitting here for a whole hour, but no donkey." "Well, you keep sitting and I'll keep running," said Hare. "Got another race with the tortoise." Off went Hare, leaving Bear to sit and sit and sit. "Mustn't quit." Tickety-tock, clickety-clock. Hours passed. No donkey. "What do I do now?" Then Bear remembered, "Keep it safe." Bear cradled the egg and sang, "Rockabye donkey, my little one, ripen and hatch, there's work to be done. If there is danger, I will be there. You'll be my donkey and I'll be your bear." Again, Hare screeched to a halt. "Bear, you're rocking and you're singing in your chair." "Well, I'm keeping my donkey egg safe," replied Bear. "Been rocking all day, and no donkey." Well, you keep on rocking and I will keep on running, said Hare. I've got to win that race. Off went Hare, leaving Bear to rock in his chair. And rock, rockety-rock, tickety-tock, clickety-clock. Days passed. No donkey. Now what? And then Bear remembered. Keep it happy. He told Egg a tale of a girl and three bears. He told Egg fables with tortoises, foxes, and hares. Bear acted out plays where he played every part, again and again, till he knew them by heart. Bear pointed his toes as he leaped through the air. He played peekaboo, hiding under his chair. For the third time, Hare screeched to a halt. Bear, you're under your chair. I'm playing with my donkey egg, said Bear, keeping it happy so it will hatch. I've been playing all week, and still no donkey. But there will be, Bear grinned. So you keep running, and I'll keep playing. I'm going to hatch that egg, and you are going to beat that tortoise. Off went Hare, leaving Bear to play, and play, and play, night and day. Tickety-tock, clickety-clock, weeks passed, but no donkey. Poor Bear. Through wind and rain and snow, Bear stayed. There's Bear sitting on his porch, front porch, holding an umbrella over his head while he sits on the egg. Now he's carrying the egg through the snow, and he has a big cap and a warm blanket wrapped around it. Bear sang and he sat. He rocked and he played. He loved that egg with all his heart. Never was there quite a pair. Bear and egg, egg and bear. Only napping here and there, Bear grew tired. Really tired. Really, really tired. He couldn't keep from falling fast asleep. And Bear falls asleep. He's so tired. And suddenly, plop, roll, Bear's fallen off his big green egg. He's landed on his front porch. The egg is rolling and rolling and rolling. Oh, no, shouted Bear. Help, egg on the loose. Hare's ears perked up. Egg on the loose? Hare to the rescue. And the chase was on. There's Bear and Hare chasing that big green egg as it was bumping down the hill. It was Egg out front, Bear close behind, and Hare bringing up the rear. Around the turn, Egg was still leading, Hare was speeding, Bear was stampeding. Across the road, Egg was tumbling, Hare stumbling, and Bear fumbling. Through the field, Bear thrashing, Hare dashing, Egg crashing. Crack! And the egg hit a tree and split into pieces. Oh, no! My donkey hatched, cried Bear. I've got him by the ears. Ouch! Those are my ears, hollered Hare. Can't you see? It's not a donkey egg. It's a watermelon. But it can't be. Fox said it was a genuine certified donkey egg. Fox, gasped Hare. You believed Fox? Bear hung his head. He tricked me. Fox tricked me. No donkey egg. No baby donkey. No nothing. There wasn't a sound as Bear looked around. And there on the floor, guess what he found? Seeds from the watermelon. Bear had an idea. I've got work to do. Well, you start working and I'll... Hare paused. Oh, who cares about a silly old race? For hours, and then for days, Bear and Hare tilled the land. They weeded and planted and watered by hand. For weeks, then months, the plants grew and grew. May, June, July, they were growing into watermelons everywhere, big, green, beautiful watermelons. To market went Bear and Hare to sell all those melons. And what did they buy? Ta-da! You guessed it. They bought a little donkey. Hee-haw, hee-haw. And there, Fox is walking along, and he sees that Bear has a donkey, a small donkey. And Hare is wondering, what? Did that watermelon really hatch into a donkey? He knew he had cheated Bear by telling him it was a donkey egg, but there was a donkey. So off ran Bear with Donkey and Hare to fix up his farm that needed repair. And all that was left was... And the last page shows, there is Fox sitting on a big, round, green egg. So here Fox has now been tricked. He thinks his watermelon is going to hatch a donkey. Well, it serves him right for cheating Bear in the first place. Our next book is called A Dog Wearing Shoes by Songmi Ko. One day, Minnie was on her way from Grandma and Grandpa's house when suddenly, screech! Her mom had to stop the car really suddenly. Minnie, look, it's a dog, her mom said, and it's wearing shoes. They had to stop because there was a dog in the street. Doggy, cried Minnie, and there's this cute little dog, and he had yellow shoes on each of his feet. He was so cute. So cute. Here, puppy, Minnie's mom called, and the dog pranced right over to her. So cute, Minnie shouted. Can we keep him? Please, oh, please, oh, please, please, please. Minnie's mom looked everywhere for the dog's owner. This little fellow must be lost, she said at last. We'll have to take him home for now. Minnie was so excited, she sang a song. She took the dog's shoes off, and then she put them back on. They bonked their heads together, and they both took a nap in the car. At home, Minnie wanted to keep playing, but the dog wasn't in the mood. Uh-oh. And then he started barking and barking and barking. Minnie, he's missing his family, her mom said. He's my family now. I've found him. But he's crying. He isn't crying. He's singing. His owner must be looking for him. But he has no dog collar. He doesn't belong to anybody. He has shoes, said her mom. He belongs to someone. And there's the poor dog just barking and barking, looking very sad. Maybe he just needs a walk, said Minnie quickly. Let's go. Minnie and her mother bought a dog collar and a leash, and they went straight to the park. The dog looks like he doesn't want to go, but Minnie is pulling him along by the new leash. And they got to the park, and there were dogs everywhere playing with kids. Soon Minnie's dog had attracted quite a crowd. The other dogs were looking at Minnie's dog, and other people came over to see. How adorable! And look how friendly he is. Look at those little shoes, people would say. And Minnie looks very proud in this picture, holding the leash with her little dog with the yellow shoes. Sit! And the little dog sat. Beg! And the little dog sat with two front paws up in the air. Paw, and the little dog would hand out a paw. Other paw, so he would reach out his other paw. Lie down, the little dog went flop. Play dead, and the little dog would roll over in his back with his legs up in the air. He's so smart, everyone said. And Minnie was very proud of her little dog. So she took him off the leash and started throwing sticks. Fetch, Minnie cried. But the dog instead of picking the stick up and coming back to Minnie, kept running. Uh-oh. Minnie looked everywhere. Inside the park, outside the park. And all she could find was a shoe. "Now that's a dog that likes to run," said Minnie's mom. Minnie was crying. "Where are you, doggy?" cried Minnie. The next day, Minnie's mom took her to the shelter to try to find the dog. She came in with one little yellow shoe in her hand, looking very sad. But all of a sudden, doggy! There was the doggy in a cage being kept at the lost and found kennel. And there was the little dog with three of his shoes, and Minnie had the other one. Minnie sat down and gave the dog a big, big hug. And then she took him home. Now Minnie knew that someone else must be missing the dog too, not just her. So she made lots of signs that said, "Found a dog wearing shoes. Is he yours? Please contact Minnie on 46th West Main Street." And she drew a picture of the dog with yellow shoes on his paws. She and her mom went out and put the posters up all over in the streets, on lampposts, on trees, anywhere she could think of, so as many people could see them as possible. And it didn't take long for the little dog's owners to show up. And here comes a little boy who owns this little dog. And the dog is looking so happy. It's shaking all over and wagging its tail and jumping up and down. And so the little boy and the little dog go off to their home after saying a great big thank you to Minnie and her mom. A few days later, Minnie and her mom knew just where to go. They went to the pet adoption center, and there was a big sign out front, "Pet Adoption Today." So Minnie looked at all the dogs in the different kennels, cages in the adoption center, to try to pick out one for herself. And the people at the kennel helped her find a dog that was just what she wanted. And so Minnie found a dog of her very own. And the last picture shows the dog and Minnie running in the park and playing and having a great time together. The next book is The Snatcher Book by Helen Dougherty and her husband, Thomas Dougherty. One dark, dark night in Burrow Down, a rabbit named Eliza Brown found a book and settled down. When a snatcher book flew into town. In every house, in every bed, a bedtime book was being read. Tales of dragons spitting flames, witches playing spooky games, pirates on the seven seas, princesses trying to sleep on peas. And every child in every bed listened hard to each word said. Eliza Brown at number 3 was reading quite contentedly. Her curtains opened just a chink. She barely had a chance to blink. Her storybook just disappeared. Eliza found that very weird. There goes her book, jumping out the window, and all she can see is a tail before it disappears. The little owls on Mommy's lap were quite surprised to hear a tap against their bedroom window glass. Tap, tap, the noise came really fast. Before they'd even looked around, the book was gone, without a sound. The wind blew wild across the sky. The smallest squirrel heard a cry. "What's that?" she whispered to her dad. But then, and this was really bad, before they had a chance to look, she'd lost her very favorite book. And so it went, night after night. Books disappeared from left to right. 5 books here and 6 books there. The shelves began to look quite bare. In Burrow Down, the rumor spread of book thieves under every bed. Eliza Brown, at number 3, was keen to solve this mystery. She planned one night to lie in wait and use a pile of books as bait. Long hours passed without a peep. She'd nearly fallen fast asleep when suddenly Eliza heard a flap of wings. A bat? Or was it a bird? Eliza saw a shadow loom, enormous, right across her room. What kind of monster could it be? Eliza thought. You don't scare me. And yet her heart was beating fast. She'd have to face that thief at last. She threw the window open wide, shouted to the thing outside, Stop stealing all our books right now. Just give them back, I don't care how. She was brave, wasn't she? The creature hung its head in shame. He mumbled with a mournful look, I'm just a little snatch of book. And he really was. He was very little, tiny animal, almost like a squirrel, but with a pointy nose, very long tail, and 2 little silvery wings. Eliza nodded solemnly. She sat the creature on her knee. You can't just come and help yourself to every book on every shelf. A tear rolled from the creature's eye, and softly he began to cry. I know it's wrong, but can't you see? I've got no one to read to me. Eliza sighed. He looks so sad. If he just had a mom or dad to read him stories every night, well, then he might behave all right. That very night, they hatched a plan. And so, the Snatch-a-Book began to give back all the books he'd picked. Eliza Brown was very strict. Then, trying to prove himself, he stacked them neatly on each shelf. This was while all the kids were asleep. And when he'd made his full amends, Eliza called on all her friends and told them how he'd worked all night to turn a wrong into a right. And now, each night in Burrow Down, as darkness falls upon the town, in every house, in every bed, a bedtime book is being read. And if you take a closer look, you might just see the Snatch-a-Book perched happily on someone's bed, listening hard to each word said. And there's the Snatch-a-Book with a family of rabbits, and the mom is reading to the 3 kids, and there's Snatch-a-Book sitting on the pillow listening to. So each night he goes to a different house and shares story time with the kids and their moms and dads. And that is the end of that book. Our next book is called Read Me a Story, Stella, by Marie Louise Gay. And it's about a little girl named Stella, her younger brother named Sam, and his little dog named Fred. Stella, called Sam, look what I found. Those are really nice branches, said Stella. Are you going to build a nest? I'm not a bird, said Sam. I am building a doghouse for Fred. Well, I'm sure Fred will love that, said Stella. Why are you laughing, Stella, asked Sam. This book is so funny. It tells you how to make soup with stones, how to teach your cat to fly, and what to do if a wolf knocks at your door. Does your book tell you how to build a doghouse? Asked Sam. No, said Stella, but I can help you. So they both worked together. Now, it's all finished. Isn't it beautiful, Sam? Well, do you think a wolf could blow Fred's doghouse down? Asked Sam. A tornado couldn't blow this house down, said Stella. Isn't a wolf stronger than a tornado? Whispered Sam. Maybe we should have used bricks. Maybe we should have a picnic at the lily pond, said Stella, after all this hard work. Look, Sam, there's the first dragonfly. We must be very close to Lily Pond. Are there crocodiles in the pond? Asked Sam. Or rhinoceroses? This pond is way too tiny, said Stella. Crocodiles and rhinoceroses need a lot of water to swim in. I like tiny ponds, said Sam, and so does Fred. Are there any frogs in that book? Asked Sam. No, said Stella, but there is a big old toad wearing a velvet jacket. Do you want me to read a story to you? Not right now, said Sam. I'm trying to catch a frog. Is he wearing a green velvet jacket, too? Asked Stella. Oh, yes, said Sam, a nice green one. This caterpillar is so soft and wiggly, whispered Sam. Here's a picture of a caterpillar in my insect book, said Stella, before he becomes a butterfly. Caterpillars become butterflies? Asked Sam. How do they do that? Well, they go to sleep for a long, long time and dream about flying. Well, I'm going to try that tonight, said Sam. Do you think he would like to live in our garden? Why not, said Stella. Let's take him home. Look, Stella, I'm teaching Fred to fly a kite. Run like the wind, Sam, said Stella, and you too, Fred. He did it, cried Sam. Fred is flying a kite all by himself. There's Fred rushing down the hill, and the string is tied to his dog collar, and the kite is flying up in the air. And Fred is barking. Uh-oh, said Stella. I guess Fred shouldn't have barked, because there goes the kite, flying off into the sky, and it's gone. Will the kite get caught on a cloud, cried Sam. Will it get burned by the sun? Kites know their way around the sky. They ride the wind until they find their way home, said Stella. I'm going to put the caterpillar next to this ladybug, said Sam, so they can be friends. It's time to water the garden, said Stella. The plants and the flowers are very thirsty. Don't water my caterpillar, Stella, said Sam. He doesn't like getting his stripes wet. And there's the caterpillar that Sam put on a leaf right next to the ladybug. Whoops, said Stella. Looks like everybody's getting watered, even the ladybug. And she had made a big mess and watered the whole garden, not just a little bit. Well, how long does it take for carrots to grow? Asked Sam. When did you plant the seeds? Asked Stella. This morning. But the rabbits look hungry now. I'll read them a poem, said Stella, while they wait for the carrots to grow. Can you read it to me, too? Asked Sam. Of course, said Stella. Why don't you listen? White fluffy rabbits are running by, like clouds in a grass-green sky, looking for carrots to bake a pie. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Read to Succeed. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.